Praise his name. Let's stand together. Just bow our heads as we open the service. Glorious Heavenly Father, what a wonderful privilege. Lord, another time we can gather. Lord, knowing you're amongst us. Father, your spirit just moves from breast to breast. Lord Jesus, look into our hearts, Father. And see where we're at in our road. Lord, you see our troubles, our trials. You know all about us. Lord, we've come, Father, for help from you tonight. Guidance. Lord, revelation that we may know how to walk in this life. Help us tonight, Lord. Lord, raise us up. Put us on a higher rung tonight. Lord, we just love you with all our hearts. Bless these few songs you've laid on our hearts, Lord. And clear our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we be undistracted when we hear you speak. And we ask this in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise his name. Let's turn in our capstone books together, if you will. Page 18. This world is not my home.
Oh, sinner, come and go with me. Oh, sinner, come and go with me and seek this land of liberty. Oh, do not stay, but tell me why you do not seek this home on high.
World is not my home. Page 7. Amen.
the unclouded day.
Yes.
Going home soon.
Oh, yes, amen.
Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Amen. Oh, to his face. When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other shore, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. Oh, I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the prints of the nails in his hand. Oh, the soul thrilling rapture when I view his blessed face. the luster of his kindly beaming eye. How my full heart will praise him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepared me a mansion in the sky. Oh, I shall know.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory.
And redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him. By the prints of the nails in his hand. Oh, the dear ones in glory, how they beckon me to come. And our parting at the river I recall. To the sweet vales of Eden, they will sing my welcome home. But I long to meet my Savior first of all. Oh, I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the prints of the nails in his hand. Through the gates to that city in a robe of spotless white, he will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages I shall mingle with delight, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. Oh, I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the prints of the nails in his hand.
What are we looking forward to, saints? Praise his name. Brother Hamilton, would you come up?
Amen. Wonderful Jesus, bright morning star. Wonderful Jesus, bright morning star, lily of the valley, that's what you are. So
something on your heart. Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Dillon, would you like to take the blessing?
Our heads bowed. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we just want to say we love you first of all, Lord, and tell you how much we appreciate you. And Lord, it's so wonderful to know you. It's so wonderful, Lord, by your mercy and grace that, Father, you imparted a part of yourself in each one of us. And Lord, it's such a blessing in this hour in which we live. When, Lord, it's a world of so many uncertainties and troubles and snares and evil and wicked things in this life, Lord. But, oh God, it's so wonderful to have you in our life, and we appreciate you so very much for that. We realize it wasn't none of our works, Lord. It wasn't because we'd done certain things, Lord, maybe better than someone else. It wasn't because of that. But Father, all it goes back again by grace you are saved. And we're so thankful for that amazing grace. We appreciate the opportunity you give us, Lord, together in this little building tonight. And to Father, to come and worship you and sing these songs, Lord, that glorify you and what you've done for us. And then, Lord, you give us this opportunity even now to, Lord, bring our request before you. And knowing that you already knew our desires and our needs before we even ask. But Father, we ask according to your will tonight. And every man, woman, and young person, whoever may be, that raised their hands and has a need, Lord, and those maybe sitting at home and listening, Father, I'm sure they probably have needs also. But Father, we ask that you would just reach down and touch us, Lord, and heal or mend and provide whatever it may be, Lord. And above all, though, give us revelation. Father, we need that precious revelation more than anything else in this life. So we ask that you would grant that, Lord, to your people. And Father, may we not be ashamed to testify of what you've done for us, what you blessed us with, and the needs that you've met in our lives. May we be so thankful and just so willingly, out of love, our hearts and appreciation, Lord, share it with others. So we ask that you would just have your way now, and we come to the portion of service here, Lord, to hear the precious word of God. We ask that you would open every ear, Lord, every heart, and may we just be drawing and pulling upon you, Lord, and our brother as he brings the word, just once more make it easy for him. Father, just remove all the nervousness, Father, and just let him know we're here pulling and drawing to listen to the word of God. So just have your way now, Lord, and remain in the service. That, again, Father, we can give you all the glory and the honor and the praise for everything. So we ask this now through the name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Have a song special?
Page 15.
Page 15 in the capstone books.
Who am I? Amen. When I think of how he came so far from glory.
Who am I that he
Sir, I may never know why he ever loved me so, but to an old rugged cross he go for. Who am I? When he tells me in his word, I'll leave thee never. Just as true I'll give to you life forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve. My battles until they're won. Who am I?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, who am I that a king would lead and die for? Who am I that he would bring not my
thankful what he's done for me. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Ask our brother to come. Only believe. Only believe.
Thankful to know that he's here with us. Amen. As we bow our heads. Precious Lord, we just want to say thank you for another opportunity to come and, Lord, together around your precious word. And we just humbly ask, Lord, that you would add your blessings to it, Lord, and just help me to deliver this little thought that you've laid upon my heart. And Lord, may these things just stir our hearts, and may we just kind of measure ourselves up by your precious word. And Lord, that we would not be caught unawares. And we just ask it to your glory and to your honor. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Oh, he's so precious.
Yes, he is.
And so wonderful. Amen. If you would, if you'd like to turn your Bibles with me over to Mark, and we'll read a very familiar scripture here and just share a little something, nothing new, just something to refresh your minds to. A little thought the Lord laid upon my heart. And
amen.
Amen. I was sure hoping that our pastor, he kind of thought he might take it tonight. I thought, boy, this is going to be good. Amen. But God knows all about it. Amen. So the Lord's willing, we'll take a little thought here. But in Mark, the 10th chapter, and let's just start here at the 17th verse, very familiar, but just put it in our hearts. And when he was gone forth into the way, there come one running and nailed to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness, and defraud not, and honor thy father and mother. And when he had answered and said unto him, Master, all of these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up thy cross, and follow me. Yes. And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And then Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? May the Lord bless you in his word. You may be seated. As I was thinking upon the thought, Brother Branham preached many, many messages titled Influence. And, you know, and then in the message Leadership, he used the example of Paul in this scripture here. And in the day and age in which we're living, it's just becoming more and more as we see the things that's going on around us. Every day, it's Satan is trying harder and harder to bear down upon us and to put things in our paths, to cause stumbling blocks, to cause us to maybe sway to one side or another. And how true it is, as you think about this scripture, and realizing that we as Christians, our lives are written epistles, read of all men. Mm-hmm. Our daily actions, our daily activities, everything we do. Mm-hmm. And how true it is, as this young man was able to look and see Jesus and to see his life and see what he was living. Mm-hmm. He knew he had something that he didn't have. Mm-hmm. And so as he come to him and he asked, and Jesus began to tell him, he was able to say, I have done all of this from my youth. And what a testimony at that point to be able to say that and truthfully say that. This young man was sincere. Yes. And Jesus seeing him, you know, knowing that, he loved him. He could see the sincereness in him. But yet when the word spoke back to him with the one thing that he lacked, mm-hmm. it was just too much. Mm-hmm. And that was the piece that the money, the riches had already had their influence on him, so to speak, that it was too much to give up. It was too much to let loose of. And for him, it was one thing. But you know how for us it could be many, many things that gets in our way. And Satan is, as the Bible says, he's going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's trying on every hand, and he'll throw up every obstacle and use all kinds of things. And we're living, you know, in the Brother Branham in the message, the voice of the God in the last days, he spoke so much in that message about the voices and how many voices. And God's voices already went forth. Yes. And you know, if you notice, that's when the prophet came on the scene and God spoke and he put forth the word exactly the way he wanted it to be presented. Then look at all the voices we've had since then. It's this way, it's that way, it's over here, it's over here, it's over there. All many ways trying to pull and to push and to take it this way or to take it that way. But God laid it down just exactly the way he meant for it to be presented. And how we must make sure that we don't allow the voices of today to misinterpret or to drag us away from what the prophet vindicated to us. You know, as the Holy Spirit had Paul write in Hebrews 13, obey them that have the rule over you, considering their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And to watch the mannerism. The Holy Spirit put that in there because when he gave pastors, evangelists, prophets, teachers to the church, to the body for the edifying of the saints, he placed those gifts. And he put, you know, it's amazing, and this is just a little bit off subject because it wasn't the way it was going, but when God gives a pastor to a congregation, a true sent pastor, it's truly watching over that flock. And it's just like any of us that's ever been a father. We watch over our children. We watch over everything they do, trying to make the best for them, just make the life easy, give them the best path, direction we can give them in ourselves. How much more shall our Heavenly Father watch over his own? Yes, that he said they're carved on the palm of his hand. Mm-hmm. And how much greater it is. And sometimes we truly need to make sure that we do give our respects unto God and his provided channels. Not lifting a man up or saying, but it's just being assured that what God's word has spoken, we are bringing ourselves subject unto. Yes. And That's not about me at all. I'm just using this as to think about what God has given us and the wisdom that the Holy Spirit has allowed to be placed in our paths to guide us for those times when maybe we don't know which way to turn. We don't know where to stand. But God placed it all there for a reason. And if you go to God in prayer with a question, there's always an answer. And at some point, if you be patient and wait, you watch the Holy Spirit move. And at some point, that'll come forth from God in a provided channel. And it'll answer the question and it'll seal it away for you. But oh, we must follow the leading of the Holy Spirit more and more as each day goes by, making sure that we're truly watching for what God is doing in our lives. But in the message, modern events make clear of a prophecy. This is just a very small quotation the prophet made, but I think it bears that we all take heed. And it's he was speaking here of Ahab, and then when they were talking about they were going to go up, and the prophet had prophesied they were going to go up and run Israel out of the land, or the not Israel, but the people they were going up against. But as he said that, he said, why didn't Ahab see it? This is paragraph 130. He says, when Jehoshaphat went down to Ahab and said, Ahab, we're in trouble. Do you know God gave us this land? And Joshua divided it up. And you know this piece of ground up here that the Syrians take, isn't that our ground? And he said, yes, our children's hungry, and the Syrians, our enemy, are feeding their children, filling their bellies with the wheat that ought to be ours. And that's scripturally right. He said, will you help me go up there and take that? And he said, now sometimes a good man under the influence of evil will give in. And he said, you better watch, church, and watch real close. And how, as you think about that, think about how close it is, as the prophet showed us how close those two vines would be in the last day. Satan has wrapped his vines right in among the wheat, and the tares are together, growing. And how is we, as the truth comes forth and God is revealing himself, how each one of us as individuals has got to guard against what God has revealed to us. And not to be swayed by some other voice of today that may be, whether it could be just anyone. You know, we see so much taking place and so many, and when you think about things, let me see here, I got to. This was in the message Influences preached November 14th, 1963. And just to think about this for a moment, as we think about how Satan is working to influence us and to pull us away from what God has. In paragraph 50, he said, then we find other things. It used to be wrong for the holiness people to attend bioscopes or movies, you know, and now they go all the time. And then Satan pulled a fast one on you and put the television right in your house. See, he fixed it in there, but all these things that used to be wrong. Well, what is it? See, sometimes it comes so gradual until the first thing you know, it's just got you. It's like a vine growing around you, and it will keep that vine. But now, if you will keep that vine away from you, see, and just keep wrapped around Jesus and around the Word and stay with that, see, you'll grow straight. That's crooked, and it pulls you off the road. Christ pulls you up, but that'll pull you sideways. And as you think about, as he's just making mention of television and how Satan's took it on down as time has went on, we've seen it come into computers and into cell phones and into all of the social media of the day that's out there. And you know, I took a little screenshot of when you think about how much the prophet preached on influence and how he warned about the voices and things of today. I want you to think about this, because everybody that's on a social platform, it don't matter which one it is, everything in the world today has become a social platform. The news is a social platform. And it's a driving force, and it's dividing and it's tearing people apart daily, just with the politics. And then you take everything else and put it in there. But just think about this little, this is just an AI. When you ask a question, it gives you an answer. You know, it's just kind of the things that they've come up with from the dictionaries. But they call everybody an influencer on these platforms. And it says, because they have established a large following and credibility with a specific niche, allowing them to significantly impact the opinions, behaviors, and purchasing decisions of their audience through content they share online and essentially influencing their followers to take action. And you just stop and meditate on that for just a little bit. Yes. And it may shock you at just how much, and it might be something that's wholesome. It may not, it don't have to be wrong, but how much impact some of the things, because it used to be on television, it was just an ad you saw once, or you had to pick up a book and read an ad. But today, your phone dings, it goes off in your pocket, or you're on the internet working, doing something, there's an ad pops up, always putting it right out there, just constantly. They know, Satan knows how this human brain reacts and how it processes information. And oh, he's a great tactic. But it isn't just about what you see out there, but it's all, when you look at the influences that is pressing in around us. And then you got the influences of all the people that we may know, that claim to be Christians and attend services, and I believe it this way, I believe it that way. There's just influences on every hand. Yes, we're walking in treacherous times, yeah. Dangerous times. Amen. And it's, you know, one of the things that I have noticed, even, you know, watching some church services and stuff, you must remember, and I just feel strongly to warn that, you know, the Holy Spirit, Brother Branham said, even in these denominations, it's the genuine anointing of the Holy Spirit on people. Yes. And how it's become to where people are putting stuff out, making fun of things. And some of it, there's a lot of foolishness. We know that. Mm-hmm. But what if it was a true move of the Holy Spirit on someone's life, making them dance in the Spirit or do something that's out of the norm of what our human, what we think or how we would act. Mm-hmm. But what if it was a genuine Holy Spirit and we was to make fun of that or laugh at that? Right. How cautious we should be to make sure that we're not in any way letting any of this influence us. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, we see so much because what you see, what you read, what you listen to, what you hear, it all has an impact on us. But we've got to have one thing, the impact of this holy word. Mm-hmm. We've got to be written epistles, read of all men. Yeah. We've got to be living what these scriptures it says. Amen. You know, In the message leadership, we'll go ahead and catch this. But very familiar, this was December 7, 65, paragraph 96. And you'll remember the prophet saying this. He said, but now the first step you've probably ever taken in your life, speaking of leadership, is probably the hands of some kind old mother. And them hands may be still tonight and out here in some cemetery somewhere, but that was the hand that held you to make your first step. Then after that mother taught you to walk, you may take a few steps and fall down and get up. And you thought you were doing great things. And then she turned you over to the school teacher and she began to lead you to an education and on how what you must do and how you must learn and so forth like that. Yes. And then after the school teacher got through with you, then you returned back and your father got a hold of you. And when your father got a hold of you, he taught you perhaps your business and how to be a successful businessman and how to do things right. Your mother taught you how to be a housewife, how to cook and so forth like that. And then after they got through with you, then your minister or priest got a hold of you. But now who leads you? That's the question now. Now we're all led by something tonight. We have to be. We're led. And as we think about that, as I said, Satan knows that. We're either going to be led by the Spirit of God or we're going to be led by the voices of today that are surrounding us. We're going to be caught up in everything just like the world gets hooked, line, and sinker. And how it's truly, as we've seen over time, as you know, as it's just continued on and on, the bitterness and the strife that's grown in the land between political parties. And then we see it bleed over into people and their thought processes and the way it just keeps moving and it's tearing people apart. It tears families apart. It makes them look down on other people because they don't share the same view as I do. They don't think about it like I do, so they're wrong. It just puts them, and it drives enmity and it drives wedges. But we cannot be like this world. We must be transformed by the renewing of our mind and not be conformed to this world. And as you think about it, these scriptures, people are watching us. They know we claim to be Christians, each and every one of us. They watch every move we make. They watch everything we do. And they begin to notice, oh, there's a purity about that person. Maybe they do this. Maybe they don't do that. And something catches their attention, but is our entire life showing forth Jesus Christ, the resurrection within us, living forth, not you, not me, but him taking preeminence of this body. And it's in every action. husbands loving their wives, wives under subjection to their husbands, parents ruling the husband ruling over the home, children obeying their parents, honoring and loving them. All of it goes together with every word that's written here. And sometimes it's, well, I'm a Christian, I go to church, I pay my tithes, I'm very faithful, I do all this, I dress right, I don't cut my hair, I wear long dresses, I do all this, I don't cuss, I don't drink, I don't smoke. But what about every word? What about every little detail that's laying in there? Because somebody's watching. So, you know, the Holy Spirit had the prophet say it like this in November 30th, 63, in Influence, paragraph 17. He said, I want to take a subject this morning called influence. And you know, we might not want to believe this, but everything that we do, we're influencing someone else. I many times preach funerals, and I never try to say too much about the person that's passed on. Because there's no need of saying it. The people, the life the man has or woman, whatever it might be, has lived and will speak louder to the congregation than anything I could say about them. I would never change their opinion. Their life told what they were. And then we never know just what we're doing, what influence what we're doing is having upon others. The Bible said we're written epistles, read of all men. That is, your life reads so loud to the public until your testimony, if it's contrary to your life, is without any effect. Yes. It's what you are inside of you that people read, not so much what you say, but what you are. You can pin something on somebody and say this, that, and so forth, but your life being different from what they say, your testimony out of your life is louder than the testimony that someone could say something about you. Yes. So just keep that in mind, that we're bringing influences every day. And the life that you live proves what's on the inside of you. You cannot change that. It reflects. Every person reflects outside what he is inside. And if we take the testimony of being Christians, I think that this is one of the most solemn things that a man, woman, boy, or girl could do, is when he takes the name of Christ, that he is going to be a representative of Christ. You should watch every move you make because somebody is watching you. And in this, it reflects what God has done for you and inside of you. Amen. How we ought to, it would pay us to soberly think about sometimes the way we may act, some of the things we may say, what we might do. Because others are watching us. They know the testimony we give out. They know what we say we believe. Does my life prove it? Am I proving what this scripture is written, that anyone can pick up and read what we ought to be, and then my life doesn't reflect it? There's a reason these words were written here. Yeah. And we have a great responsibility as we are coming to the end of the road. Time is winding down. People are truly looking for something sincere, mm-hmm. looking for truth, looking for a reality. Yes, they've seen so much fake and so much false and so much lies and so much. It's just all over. There's nothing real anymore. Yes. But all in the heart of that believer, there is a peace. There is a contentment. There is a joy. Life doesn't bear them down. You don't see them upset and all angry and mean and with every person they come in contact with. Maybe even when they're being, even in the hardest of times, there's still a joy, there's still a peace, and still a love going forth from your heart. It might be somebody that's tearing you down, calling you names, and making you, saying you're the lowest thing on the face of the earth. But yet there's something in your heart that you can still love them with a genuine feel sorry for them and want to try to make their day better. Yes, yes. Oh, Jesus Christ is a reality. Yes, yes. There is the word is real, and how it ought to be more real in our hearts every day. Mm-hmm. But we are so opinionated sometimes. It's our way, only our way, and the way we see it's how it is, and we ain't moving for nobody else, and we ain't changing for nobody else. Mm-hmm. But God's word should be changing us daily to match His, the sweetness of the Holy Spirit present in our lives, showing forth to each and every one He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes. In every circumstance. Oh, many times you know you may be having dealings here, dealings there, and the answer you get is not the answer you may want to hear. But oh my, if we just take it and move on, God will make a way. Yes. Somewhere things will work out. But how we must yield to the Holy Spirit and truly let these words sink deep into our hearts. Not my words, God's precious word that's already here. The prophet came. And that's why I say, when you think back and look at the messages that's been preached and left for us, And he said this in the message, "The Influence of Another," preached 10/13/62. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. But he said this in paragraph 55. And he was talking about Marilyn Monroe, where she had passed away and the angel had showed him the vision that she died of a heart attack. He said, "I read her life story in the magazine to know that she was an illegitimate child." Let me drop on down. He said, "She was," but she had longed for something that money wouldn't buy. And I thought, oh, I wish I could have got to her. I know what she needed. Yes. But he says, "But maybe members of the Church of Fame, maybe members of the Churches of Fame, finest famous Hollywood, where all the decoration and tinsel is on. But they seen these people. She could see they lived no different life than what she did. It takes influence. It takes the power of resurrection of Christ amongst people. That they see Christ is not a statue hanging in a building. But he's a living being in the form of the Holy Spirit living in men and women, bringing peace and contentment and happiness."
Yes.
And how it truly is with what we've been through, we've seen many people try to build Christians out of governments. And you know, it's still going on today. And young people raise up not realizing what the true baptism of the Holy Ghost is. And not realizing the truth of what can make their life change and what brings it to a place to where it's not a rule or a regulation, but it's God's precious word to me that I live by.
Amen.
But how each one of us have that opportunity to show forth the life of Jesus Christ. That we don't do or live the way we live, or I don't dress the way I dress because I have to. I don't do it because my church says I must, but I do it because Jesus Christ said so in his word. And he's revealed himself and showed forth what he desires, what he wants. And by there being a love affair between us, I do every day what I want to do. It's a love affair between him and that individual. And it shows forth, but it can declare to others that may be in a situation to where maybe the church is always pushing it down. It's got to be like this. It has to be like that. It should be like this. And that there's no understanding to it, but maybe you can be a light. Maybe you can shine light forth truly through your own self of what God can do. The power of the Holy Spirit and what it will do in a person's life. But oh my, what an opportunity each one of us are given daily. And some may have more chances than others to express and to let our lives be an influence positively. But don't forget there's others trying to influence you negatively. And it will never stop. Satan is going about. He's going to try in every way to tear down your character, to try to sway you away from what God has given us. But hold fast to those things that are good and what you have been taught and written in our epistle. As Paul, many times, I think it was in Philippians. This is in Philippians, the first chapter, and start about the 21st verse just to catch what he was saying. But he says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but to also suffer for his sake.
Yes.
And having the same conflict which you saw in me, now here to be in me. If there be any therefore any consolation in Christ, and any comfort of love, and if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, and be like-minded, having the same love, and being of one accord of one of mind. And let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind.
Yes.
Let each esteem the other better than themselves. And look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that is what our lives are here for, to represent that he truly is risen and living in a people, and that we truly are letting him influence others by the life he's living in us. Amen. May we truly take, just kind of meditate on it. It's good to stop and think about. But as there's all around us every day, we're being influenced by the voices, by the things that are taking place, actions, thoughts. It's always being pushed right at us in every scenario. And you see so much how through advertisements and things that's been out there, how it sways people and it's moved people to go do things.
Yeah.
And oh, if we must be of a sound mind with the Holy Spirit, or it will lead us and influence and pull us away from what God's given us. But may we truly keep our focus on Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Pray you can take a little something from that tonight. You know, it's just a little thought, but it keeps us stirred and keeps our minds renewed to what God's got for us. Let's all stand, if you would. Amen. I pray it was worth being here. Amen. You know, God's precious word. It's not about the speaker, saints. That's what it's, you know, I think so much how it's become to that. It's a, you know, it's come here so-and-so, come here this, come here that. But we come to hear the God speak to us as individuals. And, you know, I found that no matter where I've been, God always some way and something will speak to my heart. You know, he's ever mindful. And I pray that we just stay yielded to him and say, Lord, keep teaching. Open my eyes to the things that I don't understand. I might have read it. I might have heard it. But Lord, reveal yourself to me.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus. Our God is real. Amen.
Amen.
My God is real. Amen. Go ahead. My voice is...
My God is real.
He's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. My God is
tonight. I'm sure you did too. Man, that was really good. I love listening to the word. I really do. It's just so beautiful. It's just so glorious to listen to the word. I don't care who's preaching it, as long as it's the word. It's just something about it that feeds your soul and feeds that inner being, and it's just an excitement to know you're part of it. Amen. That's what I appreciate, by God's grace. Amen. You know, I was thinking about when Brother Timothy was starting out in this message. Again, as I said there a couple weeks ago, you know, it's if you really think about it, if we just let our hearts open and let our minds go into it deeply, we would see it so plainly what's going on. As Brother Branham used a simple statement, and I've renewed our minds back to it several times, it's the most deceiving age. That's a deceiving age, you know. And when you think of that, just, you know, as he's speaking about all these, you know, even ads and different things popping up, just how Satan is always trying to deceive through it. And we've got to be careful we don't get caught up in it. You know, and there's so many things that's, you know, we hear the president say it, you know, fake news. We don't realize maybe really how true that is. There is so much fake stuff put on, things that's not real. But I'm so thankful by God's grace we can serve a living, real God. Amen. Through all the fake stuff and nonsense and carnality and just ungodly, wicked stuff that's throughout the land, I'm just so thankful for His amazing grace. Amen. I trust that God will bless and fill everyone here with His Holy Spirit. Amen. And just, you'll have that experience of that real, genuine life in Jesus Christ, because that's the only way you can do it. It's Him giving to you. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. So let's pray for each other. Pray for our loved ones. You know, pray for those that's not saved. And keep them before God. You know, that God would, if grace and mercy is there for them, that God will get a hold of them before it's too late. Amen. So we appreciate being here tonight. I'm so thankful. Amen. It's always a blessing. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You so much, Father, that You made it possible that we could be here. And Lord, I'm sure there's some that would love to have been here tonight too, that's maybe listening in. May You bless them also and meet the needs in their lives. And Father, You know even those that's listening in or maybe later on pick this up and listen to it. You alone know exactly what's in their heart. And Father, maybe there's something pricking their heart. Maybe there's something, Lord, going on that we wouldn't know nothing about, but You know all about it. And Father, maybe they're having that hard time of making that full surrender. And Lord Jesus, truly cry out to You that, Lord, You would fill them with the Holy Spirit. We ask, Father, that somehow You would just dip down tonight and, Lord, work in the heart of Your people. And Lord, we know that it's getting close. We want to make sure that every one of them make it in that's supposed to be in. So pray that You'll bless them, Lord, and meet the needs in their lives. Go with us as we part from here tonight. Just keep Your hand upon us. Keep us safe. And Lord, just deal with our hearts and open our hearts to, Father, see what You have for us Sunday. Just again, let You flow through us, Lord. And Father, may we truly keep You always before us, that we sin not against Thee, O God. We love You. Thank You again for everything. We appreciate You. We ask through the name of Thy Lord Jesus Christ. We love You with all our heart. Amen. Praise God. You're dismissed. May You keep Him always before You. Amen. Remember, there's a lot of things out there trying to snatch you. Sister Finley. Lord, we're thankful for that. Amen. So thankful what God's blessed her with. And you know, that wouldn't be easy to go through. It really wouldn't. And it's always hard, you know, from what I've seen. I haven't had to go through that yet, but those that I've known in the past, family and things that's lost their spouse, it's not easy. It really isn't. I mean, even if you know where they're going and know they serve God and all that, but you still just, with that human nature, you're messing, you know, and you just, but yet not in a way that you don't know what happened to them, but by God's grace, you know where they're at. Amen. One day you'll meet them again soon. And I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. Seeing many of the loved ones that's passed on before me. You know, I can't wait to see old Brother Bernard again. I tell you, he always stuck out to me. Of course, I was really young when I first, actually just a baby practically, when we, you know, because mother and dad went to their house and so forth, so those kids was there. And, of course, big old feller he was, you know, and he'd always come to me and give me a hug, and he said, "How are you, little buddy?" And he always called me little buddy. And he It's just something about that big hug he had. It is precious, you know. But I'm looking forward to seeing him again in a new body. Amen. Many loved ones that's gone on before us. Oh, my. What a glorious, ain't that going to be a glorious meeting? Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to it. I really am. Because the more I see by God's grace and understand, the older I get and all that, that looks better than it ever did in my life. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to it. So may God bless you now. Until we meet again, we love you and appreciate you.